Hey there, sports history fans. Arnie Chapman of Fantasy Football Origin Stories here to tell you about a new way to play fantasy football this upcoming season. Tailgate Fantasy Sports is the game you've been waiting for. It's a new type of fantasy football that's totally free and easy to play. Just sign up with your email, pick your favorite NFL team, and set a three-man lineup using only players from that team. Rotate two players each week and add power-ups to boost your players' scores. The best part? One random power-up drops every week. Now, it's not going to replace your existing leagues. In fact, it might be the way to get some of your favorite players on your home team. Because we all know how hard it is to get your hometown team's players in your home league, right? That is, if you truly follow some semblance of an ADP. I mean, come on. You think I'm getting Amon-Ra the Sun God at market value in my home league? Pick number 7? You gotta be kidding me, dude. Get all the rules over at tailgatefantasysports.com. But the real action happens at tailgatefantasy.io. Tailgate Fantasy Sports, where true fans rule the game. Join now and help us put the word fan back into fantasy football.
Before this modern era of the Super Bowl determined a champion and the NFL championship games before that, the NFL champs were the ones with the best records. Well, we're going to take you right on that borderline of championship game and best record to determine the champion to 1932. And we'll discuss how that first championship game was played in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the December 18th football history headlines, as we were going to go through all of these championship games and great players that had birthdays on December 18th. So let's start off right now on the big story of the day, December 18th, 1932, in Chicago, Illinois. The NFL decided that a final game to determine a champ would be played in a special Chicago game at Wrigley Field on December 18th, 1932. The title was supposed to be given to the team with the best record, as it had been for over a decade in the young NFL. The season, though, ended with the Chicago Bears and the Portsmouth Spartans in a virtual tie atop the league. The Chicago Bears were 6-1-6. The Portsmouth Spartans were 6-1-4. They both had an .857 winning percentage. And the Green Bay Packers lurked right behind them with a 10-3-1 record. .769 was their percentage. It's believed that George Halas challenged the Spartans to play in a game to settle the tie. They wanted no part of the type of a co-champion baloney. Thus, we in essence had our very first NFL championship. The first postseason game in NFL history had some huge twists and turns to make it quite a remarkable story, even besides the fact that the game was going to be played to determine an NFL champion. The first odd occurrence was that the Spartan star, Earl Dutch Clark, was unable to play the game because he had to work. While it may sound crazy to us today, the fact that the professional players of that era did not make enough of a living to call all year long. Most had to take off season jobs to make ends meet, and even superstars like Dutch Clark, who had worked as a head basketball coach at Colorado College, and his hoops team had a game on that December 18th, and Dutch couldn't get off work to make the football game in Chicago. The second crazy thing that happened was due to a freak late blizzard in Chicago. The game had to be moved inside Chicago Stadium because Wrigley was covered with deep snow and frozen and dangerous sub-zero temperatures. The playing field had to be modified to play inside, so the game was played on a field only 80 yards long and some 30 yards narrower than the normal width the teams played on all season. They also had no kicking game of field goals or extra points in that game. The last item that took place surrounding the game happened on the contest's only touchdown. Bronco Nagurski threw a scoring jump pass to Red Grange, but the Spartans argued that Nagurski did not meet the requirement of a legal forward pass, and those days had to be 5 yards or more behind the line. The play stood, and the Bears ended up winning the NFL title by the score of 9-0. The Spartans franchise would become a Lions in 1933 when they moved from Portsmouth, Ohio to Detroit, Michigan after Detroit radio businessman George A. Richards purchased the rights to the team for $8,000. This was a hefty sum at the time, but Portsmouth had after all just recently played in what some would be called the first impromptu NFL championship game against Chicago Bears, shorthanded of their star player. The Motor City was a risky place to put a team at this point, as three previous franchises had failed there, but Richards knew that the city needed a winner, and he took the chance. It was well worth the risk, as a newly named Lions team would win the NFL title in 1935 and later in 1952, 53, and the 1957 seasons. Richards took another chance with his football franchise in 1934 when he scheduled a game on Thanksgiving Day. Though it failed when in other cities, save Dallas a few decades later, the turkey game in the Motor City was a huge success. Unfortunately, in 1940, Mr. Richards had to sell the franchise due to declining health issues and a fine from the NFL for draft tampering, but his $8,000 initial investment turned into a $225,000 sale of the Lions to retail magnate Fred Mandel. The Lions eventually were purchased by the descendants of Henry Ford and are owned by the family to this day. December 18, 1949, at the L.A. Coliseum in Los Angeles, California, the L.A. Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles met for the National Football League championship title. Weather conditions were dreadful, as a driving rain caused the grass field to become quite a quagmire. A 1988 Pro Football Researchers Association article on the game in the Coffin Corner Volume 10 shares a story. Over an inch of rain fell in the L.A. area, and many wanted the game postponed until Christmas Day. NFL Commissioner Burt Bell was having nothing to do with any sort of postponement and ordered the game go on as scheduled. The Eagles, with their solid defense, were a 7-point betting odds favorite in the contest. What they did was double the win in margin, as their stifling defense shut the Rams down in a 14-0 victory. The Eagles' offense put one touchdown on the board, but the rest was all defense, as the Rams were held to a record 21 total rushing yards. And special teams blocked a punt in the second half for the other Philly score. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines, and let me remind you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
December 18, 1959, former Washington Redskins quarterback Sammy Baugh was named as the first coach of the AFL's New York Titans. Baugh was a collegiate head coach from 1955 through 1959 at Hardin-Simmons University after his playing days were over in the NFL. He spent two seasons as a Titans head man, achieving a record of 14-14. He later went on to coach the University of Tulsa and even became the Houston Oilers' fourth ever coach in 1964, per the MissYaBlue.com website. December 18, 1988. The Seattle Seahawks win their first ever division title, per the Washington Post. The division of the AFC West title came down to a pivotal game with the LA Raiders. Yes, I just did say the AFC West for the Seahawks and the LA Raiders. Seattle was in the AFC West division from their inception in the 1970s until realignment in 2002 when they were moved to the NFC West, as they are today. Also, the Raiders franchise spent some time calling Los Angeles home in between stints in Oakland and before they moved to Las Vegas in 2020. We all straight now? Now that's cleared up. The Seahawks won the AFC West title in 1988 with a 9-7 record, and they dashed the Raiders' hopes, who came in the game at 7-8. It was a close call, though, as the final score was Seahawks 43, Raiders 37. Quarterback Dave Craig for the Seahawks threw four touchdowns, and wideout Steve Largent extended his catching a pass streak to 167 games in a victory. The Seahawks would end up losing to the Cincinnati Bengals 21-13 the very following week in the AFC Divisional Playoffs. It's time to get us some Hall of Fame birthdays for this December 18th, and we'll start off on December 18th, 1892, in Spooner, Wisconsin. Gus Welch, the quarterback of the Carlisle Institute team, was born. Gus was recruited to Carlisle's by none other than Institute's very famous coach, Pop Warner. Welsh was an honor student at Carlisle per the NFF, and Pop used his smarts of this young player to fit in as the team's quarterback. Gus had to grasp on how to use the tempo and timing of the team as its signal caller to catch weary defenses off guard. Many experts believe that Welsh would have had even more national acclaim if it wasn't for the big cast of a very big shadow of teammate Jim Thorpe that he was in. The National Football Foundation selected Gus Welsh to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1975. December 18, 1956, San Francisco, California. The linebacker from UCLA, Jerry Robinson, celebrates his birth. FootballFoundation.org shares the story that Jerry was at first used as a wide receiver when he first showed up at UCLA, as he could run the 100-yard dash in 9.5 seconds and leap 6 foot 5 inches in the high jump. They eventually moved him to inside linebacker. Robinson used his speed and athleticism at linebacker to become a three-time All-America selection. During the 1977 game against USC, he put on a show with 23 tackles and did even better in the 1978 game against Air Force Academy when Jerry registered 28 tackles. As a Bruin, Robinson had 468 career tackles, which set a UCLA record. The voters of the NFF welcomed Jerry Robinson into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1996. December 18, 1958, at Baytown, Texas, Scott Warner of the University of Georgia, a safety, was born. Scott is heralded as one of the greatest Bulldog defenders of all time, as he and his teammates went a perfect 12-0 in 1980 and won the national title. The NFF tells us that Warner was a first-team All-America selection as a senior, and he made two key interceptions in Georgia's win over Notre Dame in the 1981 Sugar Bowl for the national title. To his credit, Warner had 13 collegiate career interceptions and 303 career interception return yards. He is widely considered to be the best punt returner in Bulldog history, as he set UGA records for career punt return yardage with 1,077 yards and his 488 yards in a season of punt return yards and 190 yards of kickoff returns in a game. This has resulted in Scott twice being named as the University of Georgia's Outstanding Special Teams Player of the Season. The National Football Foundation selected Scott Warner to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2016. We hope that you find some time to join us tomorrow for the December 19th football history headlines as we talk about a Philly blizzard in a 1948 championship game. A plane crashes into an NFL stadium right after a game has ended, and the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets take home an NFL title. It's all coming up tomorrow, so don't miss it. And make sure you get notified the second the next edition of this podcast is released. Put your mouse cursor over the subscribe button on your podcast player and press it. You can also find all the episodes at your favorite podcast provider at pigskindispatch.com or thesportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll also find many other great nostalgic sports stories and interviews of podcasts with an all-star cast of podcast hosts and guests to share some of history's greatest sporting events. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.